Good morning, Professor Tim MacDonald to Near FM and the Lifeline programme. How are you?
Good morning, Mara. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. You actually are involved with the, I hope I get it right here, the COPD. It's the pulmonary, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And what's actually happening at the moment? Is there a conference or is there some development, please?
Yeah, we've a conference running next Saturday. It's a virtual conference for patients, their families, hearers who have COPD. And it's a free event, and registration can be had on copd.ie. That's www.copd.ie. And we've got a number of speakers on it. The keynote speaker is Professor Martin Cormacan, who may be well known to people. He's been leading up the COVID program, and he's going to be advising patients with COPD and their carers what should be done about vaccination in the time of COVID. So he's one of the speakers, but we've got other speakers on who are giving advice about health-related events for COPD patients in terms of diet, exercise, things like that. We also have speakers who are going to be talking about particularly exercise and also things like the technological advances that are taking place. Nowadays, as many patients with COPD know, it's getting harder and harder to access doctors with COVID and other issues. And a lot of care is now going to be transferred to being online. And we don't want our COPD patients left behind. There's a lot of things that are available for patients online. And there's going to be talks about how to do this sort of thing online.
I was just going to ask what exactly is the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and how is it? I mean, I know it's kind of a breathing bronchitis or emphysema, but can you be born with it, or does it develop, or is it from smoking, or what exactly is it?
That's a great question. It's a problem with the name, there's no doubt about it. COPD, or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, is perhaps better known to your listeners as chronic bronchitis and emphysema. And the biggest cause of it is smoking, but other factors play a part: air pollution, inhaling dust, even things in early childhood like poor nutrition, being sick in early childhood can predispose to it. We know, for instance, that while smoking is the major cause, 30% of patients with COPD are non-smokers, and 10% of them have never smoked. So the main symptoms of it for patients are, one, shortness of breath. And this can creep up in patients. As they get older, they may not realize that they're not as good at exercise as they used to be, but might put it down to just an aging process or middle aging or whatever. And the other thing they get is what we call exacerbations or infections. And these are where, for whatever reason, maybe it can be an infection, maybe it can be something else, patients get a deterioration of their symptoms. And these deteriorations can lead to them needing to get healthcare, either attending their GP, maybe going to the emergency department, or even getting admitted to hospital. And exacerbations of COPD are the commonest medical cause of admission to our hospitals. They're a big contributor to the trolley problem. I mean, a lot of patients with COPD end up stuck on trolleys over the winter season.
Oh my goodness.
And of course, COVID has aggravated all of that.
Oh my goodness. And approximately how many people in this country are affected by COPD?
Well, we reckon there's probably 500,000 people who have it. A lot of those people wouldn't be diagnosed with it. We know from, for instance, we're looking at data on prescriptions of drugs that are given to patients with COPD, that there's at least 200,000 people getting drugs for it. So, there's certainly a lot of people out there, and the people who are diagnosed are probably the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of people who have it who don't really realise that they've got the disorder.
And you just mentioned there, that Tim, that there's a lot of people in hospital. I'm afraid to ask you, what's the number, or what's the average number that would be in our hospitals?
Well, we know that at least 11,000 people a year are admitted nationally with COPD.
Oh, right, okay.
So So that's, you know, and that's people who are clearly defined as having COPD, but if having COPD predisposes you to things like pneumonia. So some patients who are admitted with pneumonia may be signed out as pneumonia is the principal cause, but they have underlying COPD that has predisposed them. So we reckon again that even the figures that we have officially on COPD admissions are an underestimate of the problem.
And I'm just wondering, I had, both my parents smoked, but they died quickly with heart attacks. But I'm just wondering, if somebody smokes in the house and the partner doesn't smoke, does that smoke, the non-smoker, does the smoke affect them?
Oh, it does. So certainly,
Oh dear.
Passive smoking is certainly a problem. And if you know, I mentioned earlier that 10% of patients with COPD never smoked. And things like passive smoking probably contribute to the development of COPD in some people. So there's no doubt about it. Passive smoking is a problem.
And young people, how young can people get this?
It tends to be a problem, for people in middle age to start to develop it. But it's a slow process. And there's been instances where people have been known to have developed early signs of emphysema and chronic bronchitis in their 30s. But most people who get clinical problems are older. And, if you're over 40, if you feel you've got breathlessness, if you've got a chronic cough, you probably should talk to your doctor about getting checked out for COPD. If you're over 40 with a chronic cough and breathlessness, you need to get checked out.
And coming back to the conference, you were mentioning, I hope I get this right name right, I'm actually dyslexic, and I think today it actually seems to be affecting me, but Professor Martin
Cormacan.
Is going to be talking, and I will ask you again for the, anybody can go online and for this conference, can't they, Tim?
Absolutely. It's open to anybody, it's free. And obviously, because you need to be registered to get the Zoom link, etc. But it's on, copd.ie.
Okay.
That's the COPD support website. And on that, you can also get other information. There's a booklet that we have, COPD and Me, which gives information for patients with COPD and their carers. And that can be downloaded in a PDF version that we can look at. There's other information on that about, online, about doing exercise. And COPD Support Ireland itself is a charity which has been set up to support patients with COPD. And it organises local support groups around the country. So I know there are support groups in the north of Dublin that people can link into if they wanted to do that. And these support groups organise exercise classes and generally provide support for patients with COPD at a local level.
Well, you just came into the next question I was going to ask you. I do some walking, but I swim almost every day. But but can you actually exercise your lungs? That's really what I'm asking.
That's a very good point. You'll see if you go on the website, there's talk about a thing called pulmonary rehabilitation. And pulmonary rehabilitation is something that we've been advocating for all patients with COPD. We know, for instance, that it helps prevent people being readmitted to hospital. It helps patients feel better. And what pulmonary rehabilitation is essentially is exercise. And exercise is good for anybody with lung disease. And what I've been advising to my patients is that they would exercise for 30 to 45 minutes a day. And as I sort of joke to them, I want them to walk. Walking is fine, and I want them to walk to get breathless. Not terribly breathless, but at least to exercise the lungs to get breathless. And we know that this is going to help clear the lungs of mucus and secretions and help prevent infections. It makes patients use their lungs better. And it is, apart from stopping smoking, is probably the single most effective thing patients can do for their lung health.
Because are you actually saying that we don't actually, like a normal healthy person doesn't use the whole of their lungs for breathing? Maybe?
We're built with a big inbuilt reserve, so we don't need our lungs all the time. For instance, we all have heard of people who've had to, unfortunately, have a lung removed for, say, lung cancer, unfortunately. and they get by, not great, but they get by on obviously 50% of their lungs. They've got two lungs, and if you lose one of them, you're clearly inhibited, but you can get by. So that tells us that we have a reserve. So if you've got COPD, one of the problems you want to avoid is infections. And if you've got secretions in your lungs, they can act as a focus for infection. So exercise helps you get rid of those secretions. But also, if you have COPD, by definition, you've lost some of your lung function. And by exercising, you can utilize your lungs better, and your body can utilize your lungs better.
I'm so sorry. I'm just a little bit stunned that you can do exercise for your lungs. I just think that's brilliant. It hadn't actually struck me. And yet, I assume for anybody, it's the most important thing in the world before money. If you're not breathing, you're not here. So, and also eating well for lung health.
Yeah, I mean, patients who've got COPD, some of them end up overweight, and obviously if you're overweight, it's like a car that's overloaded. Your engine isn't capable of getting you around as well. So if you're overweight, you need to lose weight. But a big problem with some COPD patients is that they find it difficult to keep on weight. So one of the things that's in the conference is actually advice on nutrition. We've got Dr. Audrey Tierney, who's a registered dietitian and a lecturer in nutrition and dietetics, talking about what's the best way of eating to maintain your lung health. So again, that's clearly important.
With so many of our, I mean, our communities are, I had to phone my doctor there or make an appointment. She phoned me up. So a lot of things have actually moved to the phone and Zoom. Do you think that will be continuing in the new year or in the next while?
I think it will be. And some of it is obviously, as doctors, I don't like, I prefer to see people face to face. But the reality is that, you know, face-to-face involves, first of all, the patient having to interrupt their schedule and come in to see me. And if it can be dealt with a quick Zoom, FaceTime interaction, that saves the patient time. But, you know, there are advantages in terms of convenience, perhaps, for the patient. It's maybe convenience for the doctor, and that's we can get to see more people and check up on people who have to come distances to see us. It has a disadvantage that you sort of like to look into the eyes of somebody and see what they're thinking. But these days with masks and everything else, there's problems with that. So I suppose what I'm saying is that I think Zoom as a patient interaction device is going to be here into the future. And we want our COPD patients to be able to take advantage of this.
Can I just ask something that's just come to my mind? People with a COPD, would some of them actually find it hard to swallow?
I wouldn't think most patients with COPD don't have swallowing difficulties.
All right, okay. It's the breathing.
It's the breathing. And if you have swallowing difficulties, I would probably think that they may need to get that investigated.
And I assume that people, if they suffer from this, Tim, that their mental health and well-being may not be so good either. So they need all the help they can get to keep their spirits up.
I think you're hitting an important point. I think chronic diseases of whatever nature are debilitating for people. And I think COPD is particularly troublesome. To put it bluntly, sometimes patients with COPD lose out on support because people get a little bit fed up, perhaps listening to them complain about being short of breath and so on. And that gets depressing, and it does induce anxiety. And there's also an element of guilt. If you smoked, sometimes patients feel a bit guilty. We all have bad habits. I mean, I'm a bit overweight and I don't look after my diet. And if I get a heart attack, I would expect to be looked after. And I think the same goes for patients who unfortunately smoked. And you deserve to get good health care, and people just, need to listen to you when you've got a problem. But there's no doubt that patients with COPD have a lot of anxiety.
All right. So no need, as one would say, no need giving out after the horse is bolted. And as you said, we have all got moans. I dream of cream cakes. That's I have to say. I'm going to finish just now at 10, but I just want to go over and for the registration and the free registration for the conference, and it's www.copd.ie, and the free phone for anybody worried about the COPD is 1800 1800 832 146. I'm not too sure if there's anything else you could tell us now, but are you actually speaking at the conference?
I'm really just cheering it. I think people, a lot of the COPD community, are probably fed up listening to me at this stage. But I'm not speaking particularly, apart from just cheering it, but I'm going to be there to answer questions and so forth.
Well, Professor Tim MacDonald, thank you so much for coming on to Near FM, the Lifeline programme. It's been a pleasure and very informative. And I wish everybody that listens to the conference and takes part, I wish them all the very, very best. So thank you very much for coming on, and we're very grateful here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the time.
It's been an honour. Thank you. Bye now.